But over the weekend, 50 Shades of Grey, the incredible bestseller, the film opened, obviously. $87.1 million expected to clear the $90 million mark by the end of today, President's Day. An all-time record for President's Day weekend. And Arlette Siegel went and saw it yesterday. Maybe you did, too. Your phone calls welcome, 800-222-KBC. Next segment, we're happy to talk to you about the movie. If you saw it, what did you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down, or whatever up you want. You can put up whatever you want.
Oh, dear.
But I was kind of curious as to how has this actually impacted, you know, because there's a lot of pretenders, but what about people who are really into the life? And we have with us on the newsmaker line with us a woman who lives the life, and she is a professional dominatrix, and it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show, Mistress Isabella Sinclair. Good morning, Mistress. How are you?
Good morning, Doug. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for coming on with us. Appreciate it. First question, have you seen the movie?
I did not see it this weekend.
Okay. But you've read the book, right?
I've read the books, and I intend to see it, but yeah, I just didn't need to get out opening weekend to see it. I'll see it eventually.
Now, what did you make of the books?
You know, there's a lot of controversy in my industry about how the books portrayed certain things as being domestic abuse or sexual violence or, you know, all these different things, and I can see that aspect, being in the industry and kind of, you know, being very protective of my industry. But I also see that it was written to a certain audience, and unfortunately, there's a popular misconception that you must have something wrong with you, or you must be broken in order to be into BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism. And from my 21 years of experience, I can say that that's a very popular misconception.
Hmm.
The majority of the people that I've come across have. You know, have no damage, they're not broken, they just happen to be into certain things. And honestly, over my years working with psychiatrists and psychologists, because I've worked with them, counseling them on how to deal with people who come to them and say, hey, I might be submissive, I have these tendencies. And just through genetic research, I've received several articles about two different types of genes that I would say, you know, genetics play into this probably more than people want to realize.
Really?
Yeah, there's a gene called the daredevil gene, and it promotes extreme sensations or risk-taking behaviors, and I see that a lot in my masochists, and that would make sense, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
that you understand the consequences of your actions, and there might be some pain involved. And then the other one was the fairness gene, which was the newest one that I learned about 9 or 10 years ago, which promotes selflessness, which is a very strong characteristic of a submissive.
Selflessness, and, you said?
What?
Selflessness?
Selflessness.
Got it.
Yeah. Giving of yourself, wanting to help others, being a do-gooder, that sort of thing. So, you know, I think that, you know, overall, you probably want to focus more on the genetics. You know, we are born this way. We are not broken or made this way. Although there are some cases, you know, everybody has a little trauma from their childhood. I mean,
some people have more than others.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't necessarily manifest in a sexual way. It might manifest in another way. But, you know, some of us, we can always blame something on our childhood. But I don't think that this is, you know, exclusive to trauma in our childhood. I think it's more more scientific than that.
We're talking with Mistress Isabella Sinclair on the web, isabellasinclair.com, easy on the eyes, hard on everything else. On Twitter, you can follow Mistress Isabella at Twitter, at Gwen, G-W-E-N Media, Gwen Media. When the books came out, did it bring more business to the trade? Did it bring more customers?
It has opened a lot of eyes to it. And I was unfortunately on hiatus when the books came out. I didn't even realize they were out until I started seeing all of my hometown girlfriends making mentions of, like, this book and all these different topics. I was like, wait a second, this sounds like S&M. So I researched it, and I was like, all right, I have to get the books now because I have to see what's going on here. And, I mean, everybody was talking about it. So I was kind of late to the game. But now that I'm back, and I've been back for a year and a half now, I see a lot of couples who are trying to get into it. And I teach classes now on the second Sunday of every month, and I see more and more couples coming to these classes wanting to explore. I see a lot of, you know, single people who say, you know, I want to get my boyfriend into this or my girlfriend into this, and I'm not certain how. Can you help me segue into it? And I told all of them, I was like, it's perfect timing, because take them to see the 50 Shades of Grey, and then you can gauge whether or not they thought it was repulsive or they thought it was interesting. You know, before that, there was really no other way to segue into that conversation, but this was like the perfect opportunity to try to gauge someone's interest in this.
Now, what happens when a couple comes to you and they're both submissives? I mean, they just lie there waiting for somebody to do something.
That is so extremely common. The last class that I taught in February, the couple that I used came to me 14 years ago, and they still play, and they're still clients of mine. And they, when I interviewed them both, I realized they were both submissive. I taught them how to switch with each other. They don't, neither one of them are naturally dominant, but in order for, you know, it's tit for tat, in order for one to get what they want, they need to give the other one what they want, and it makes for a bonding relationship when they're able to do that. So now they'll swap back and forth, and they've learned the tools to do both, and they're both completely different. So, you know, it's played well with them, and that's usually the way that I teach people when they're both submissive. And you kind of, it's the initiative, you know, who's going to make the initiative. And I tell them it's okay if you're submissive to make the initiative. If you want to play and you're ready to, you know, have these kind of fun and games in the bedroom, then write a note. Stick it in your boyfriend or husband's briefcase or your girlfriend's purse. When she goes to the grocery store, she sees this note that says, when you get home, these things are going to be set up for you, and I want you to come in the door. You know, it's a game. It's supposed to be fun. Sex is supposed to be fun. And this definitely livened up sex lives.
What should people who are new to this, what should they avoid at all costs?
Forcing anything on anyone. It has to be consensual. And I think that was one of the things that people made reference to about the book.
Yeah.
It seemed to be forced, but I didn't really see it as that. I saw it as coerced. I love the fact in the book that he knew exactly what he wanted, because most people force this on their partner without even really realizing that this is something they want. You know, the rough housing, you know, when you see couples rough house and then one wants to rough house more than the other, or maybe the girl wants to be pinned down. It's if they were aware that they want to be tied down, maybe it would be more pleasurable. So I did applaud the fact that he was like, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I want. And he was so handsome in the book and everything that, of course, she wanted to try to appease him, because, you know, you don't get that opportunity. He was like the every woman's dream, wealthy, handsome, extremely successful, powerful, all these things. So it was that character, although I'm not sure he exists, was written specifically to make women swoon.
Yeah, it's a little different if it's a short, dumpy Danny DeVito kind of guy. It's a whole different animal.
Exactly. Then maybe she would have been like, no, thank you.
Yeah. He worked as a temporary employee at the local post office. Mistress Isabella, we have a safe word here. It's called traffic first on the fours, so I have to move on. But again, IsabellaSinclair.com is the website, and on Twitter at Gwen, G-W-E-N Media. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me. Okay. Have a good morning.